Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 35 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
And I'm Peyton Stewart.
And we've had several different people inquire about possibly purchasing that piece of property.
The Rowan County Board of Education is making a decision on the Zane Colling Community Park.
Rowan 365 is now accepting grant applications.
The Kentucky Supreme Court has not made a decision on Senate Bill 151.
Moorhead police are investigating a theft at the Rowan County Recycling Center.
Drivers who illegally pass school buses in Madison County may face stiffer penalties.
MSU's volleyball team is neck and neck with Murray State in the second round at the OVC Championship.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy with lows around 31 degrees in weather. Stay tuned for an extended forecast after this news.
The Rowan County Board of Education voted on what to do with the Zane Colling Community Park this Monday. The board declared the 18-acre park located across from Walmart as surplus property during a special meeting. Declaring the property as surplus is required before any action can be made to sell the park. Superintendent John Maxey says the money received from selling the property would be reinvested.
The board would take any proceeds that we got from it and reinvest it into community recreation. So we would still like to keep as much community recreation as we possibly could. And any kind of proceeds we got, we'd just reinvest it somewhere.
Maxey says that even though the property has been declared as surplus, that doesn't mean it has to be sold.
Rowan 365 is now accepting grant applications. The organization is an initiative of the Rowan County Community Fund held at Bluegrass Community Foundation. Jenny Frazier is a member of the Rowan County 365 Executive Committee. She says each year the group will set a specific focus for the competitive grant.
And so this year it is for education purposes. Things that are focusing in on student learning, access for student academic success, anything that will be able to provide education for students and people here in Rowan County.
Applications will be limited to one per organization or school. Proposals from schools must have a school-wide benefit. The online grant application can be accessed on the Bluegrass Community Foundation's website at bgcf.org/Rowan365.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul pushed a resolution Thursday designed to block a $300 million arms sale to Bahrain. Supporters of the bill believed it would effectively force the country to pull out of a Saudi-led war effort against Yemen. The Bowling Green lawmaker said Yemen is one of the poorest countries on the planet, and its people are suffering through a humanitarian crisis.
The pictures are heartrending, and your tax dollars are supporting this war. So I think there ought to be a debate.
Senators voted down the resolution by a 77-21 vote. The resolution's detractors say they feared stopping the arms sale would lead to an even greater threat against the U.S. in the Gulf region.
Despite reports to the contrary, the Supreme Court of Kentucky did not make a decision on the embattled Senate Bill 151 on Thursday. Attorney General Andy Beshear filed suit to stop Senate Bill 151, initially a sewer bill that evolved into the pension bill, saying it was unconstitutional. Beshear cited that the bill did not get the actuarial analysis that most bills require. The bill would place teachers and first responders into a 401k-type program reminiscent of the failed Senate Bill 1, which was sent back to the committee. The passage and signing of the bill into law resulted into statewide educator protest. In August, Governor Pat Bevin filed an appeal to take the battle to the Senate Supreme Court, bypassing the Court of Appeals. According to LEX18, Beshear had told the KEA that the decision could possibly come down Thursday. According to the court's website, the decision released did not pertain to the pension bill.
The Kentucky Supreme Court unanimously ruled medical review panels are unconstitutional yesterday. The High Court said the law goes against Kentucky's Constitution by delaying access to courts. The court also said it went against the constitutional prohibition against special legislation. Franklin Circuit Court Judge Philip Shepard ruled the measure unconstitutional last fall. The General Assembly passed medical review panels in 2017, which required a panel of doctors to review any malpractice cases before going to court. The Kentucky Medical Association released a statement saying they were disappointed in the ruling.
The Kentucky Supreme Court says it will hear a case regarding Marcy's Law next year. According to WYMT, the court will hear arguments for the constitutional amendment, which would guarantee the rights of crime victims, on February 8th. Voters across the Commonwealth approved the measure on November 6th. However, a state judge ruled last month the question on the ballot as too vague and ordered state election officials to not certify the results until the case could be resolved. Kentucky was one of six states with Marcy's Law on the ballot. Voters in all six states approved the law.
State Representative Jill York is planning to file for a recount for the recent Kentucky House race, where she lost by just 5 votes against opponent Kathy Hinkle. On Thursday, Lawrence and Carter County Clerk's offices performed a re-canvass of the results for the 96th District Street seat at York's request. A re-canvass reviews the results from each voting precinct delivered to county clerk's offices to ensure accuracy. The Daily Independent re-canvass did not turn up any new votes, but York says she can still move forward with an actual recount request and says she is in the process of doing just that. Lawrence County Clerk Chris Job said a recount has never been issued in the county within his past 16 years of serving and is, quote, all new territory to him. Representatives for Kathy Hinkle say they have not been notified of a recount request as of yet and stand by the results of the re-canvass. We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A cart was stolen from inside the Rowan County Recycling Center Tuesday night. Moorhead police are currently investigating the incident. Center Director Colin Alexander says the thieves came in through a drop-off window and took the cart out through the garage door. He says the center is no stranger to theft.
We have had that problem in the past. We actually had a power supply to our industrial shredder cut. We had some other stuff stolen probably 3 or 4 months ago.
Alexander says replacing the cart comes out of the center's budget. He went on to say replacing the cart is no issue. The real problem is not having it when they need it. Moorhead police have since increased patrols in the area.
People who illegally pass school buses in Madison County could now face harsher penalties. The crackdown is in response to the string of injuries and deaths at bus stops across the country. Police are actively working with Madison County school officials to catch people who are illegally passing the buses. Dana Clark is a bus driver who frequently experiences illegal passers. She says the problem has escalated to a point where students on the bus are getting involved with catching the people committing these infractions.
We train students to help us do our job every day. So you've got students trained in the front of the bus and in the back of the bus to do your evacuations. Those students also help you write down that license plate.
She says even with the extra help catching people who illegally pass, the main problem is preventing violations from happening at all. Clark says these kinds of things happen at least several times a week and put the lives of students in danger.
The alleged Kroger shooter has been indicted on federal hate crime charges. A grand jury returned a 6-count indictment against Gregory Bush, who is accused of killing 2 people at the Kroger grocery store in Jefferson last month. U.S. Attorney Russell Coleman says the charges include shooting and killing 2 people based on their race or color.
No Kentuckian should be frightened to go shopping. No Kentuckian should be frightened to worship. No Kentuckian should be frightened to go to school. And we will stand with you, and we will stand together to push back on this specter of fear and violence.
Coleman says a decision has not been made on whether prosecutors will seek the death penalty against Bush. Bush has pleaded not guilty to state charges and is in jail on a $5 million bond.
Four people admitted earlier this month to helping hide the man police say shot and killed Pikeville police officer Scotty Hamilton in March. According to WYMT, Amanda Dotson, along with Michael and Greg Sloan, pled guilty to a charge of hindering apprehension or prosecution. Gene Blackburn pled guilty to an amended misdemeanor charge of attempting to hinder apprehension. All four agreed to help with the investigation into John Russell Hall.
After killing his brother Thursday morning, one Lexington man is now behind bars. WKYT reports the incident happened at a home on Chrissy Way. 26-year-old Timothy Coffey allegedly shot and killed his older brother after an argument erupted between the two. The Fayette County coroner was able to identify the victim as 28-year-old James Coffey. Bill Towles is a longtime local who lived close to where the incident happened. He says in that particular area, murders aren't a common sight.
I thought, my word, you know, something's going on. I've been here 22 years and we've never had anything, not even close to this. And then I saw the crime tape. And then I told the wife, I said, there's something, it's more than just a car broken into or something like that. We've got an issue going on.
Police arrested Coffey Thursday afternoon after locating him on Pearson Drive. He is charged with murder.
Hours after a court appearance, a grandmother being accused of covering up the Roden massacre has been set free on a bond. Frederica Wagner was released from jail last night on a $100,000 bond. According to WSAZ, Rita Newcomb, the other grandmother accused in the crime, is still in the Pike County, Ohio jail on a $50,000 bond. Both are charged with interfering with the investigation and misleading authorities.
A prosecutor says no one will face criminal charges for the failed response to a 16-year-old Ohio student who died trapped in a minivan parked near his school. Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters says his office has reviewed the Cincinnati Police and Hamilton Sheriff's Office investigations and two independent reviews that were contracted by the city. Dieters expressed sympathy Thursday to Kyle Plush's family while announcing no charges were appropriate in the case. A special city council committee meeting Thursday went over the outside reports on the emergency center and police responses. Plush's family took part in the meeting. Plush's father, Ron, found his son dead, pinned in the minivan's rear. On April 10th, nearly 6 hours after the first of Kyle's two 911 calls. Taking a look at the weather tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 51. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Sunday, a 20% chance of showers after 4 p.m. Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers mainly after midnight. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg it is currently 42 degrees, in Maysville it is 42, in Ashland it is 46, in Inez it's 49, in Lexington it is 42, and in Moorhead it is 46.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff discusses a great American tradition that he believes needs a second look, and he's not talking about baseball.
The simplicity of blaming presidents for how things are going or have gone is that it's easier to focus on just one person when placing blame, easier than blaming 535. The 535, give or take, are those pillars of strength, maturity, and fairness known as Congress. Members of the House and Senate on occasion get pilloried for bad actions, but for the most part, the bodies themselves, excuse the pun, stay off the chopping block. People, even people in Congress, like to blame Washington and the swamp and, of course, the president, whomever it might be, for the dysfunction that has so long been the M.O. in D.C. Let's take a look at that and see if it bears scrutiny. Who is to blame for the rampant spending that is hurtling this nation toward a bottomless pit of debt-related hardship and collapse? Congress. Who is to blame for constant, juvenile bickering and teenaged theater during hearings constitutionally mandated to provide advice and consent. Congress, who approved of the first Gulf War, the second Gulf War, and who approves of continuing the longest war we have ever waged? Congress, who continues to pretend that they are outraged by sexual exploits, even the behavior of high school children, while using millions of tax dollars to pay off their own staff to stay quiet about sexual misdeeds in, you guessed it, Congress. Oh yeah, Congress, who can look right at the admitted sexual touching incidents of some of their own members, and depending on their party affiliation, look the other way. Hint, Congress and Cory Booker. Who can pretend that certain out-of-favor members' sexual exploits are not the acceptable kind, and who can adopt a position of righteous outrage on certain days of the year, depending on who is being charged? Congress, who stands idly by while the federal government's permanent corps of functionaries, bureaucrats, and regulators, empowered by Congress, interfere with individual rights, states' rights, and border control? That's right. Congress, who passed the ridiculously named Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act and then excused itself from having to live with it. Congress, who behaves like a pack of middle school bullies who are freaked out by the placement of an aisle between rows of seats in their respective chambers. Congress, whose members continue to selectively support local and state violations of federal law, such as immigration, while at the same time calling for reform of those very same Congress-made laws. You know, who allows itself and the nation to be distracted by petty nonsense while Rome burns around them with the insane budget, unstoppable pollution, rampant waste, graft, corruption, while underserved veterans and other vulnerable groups suffer unspeakable neglect. Congress, Congress, and Congress. So when you hear any congressperson utter words of condemnation, hand them a stone and tell them to start casting. I'm John Modak.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Peyton Stewart, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
The Eagles are battling it out with the Racers. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. Morehead State Volleyball is fighting for a win as we speak against Murray State in the second round of the Ohio Valley Conference Championship. The Eagles cruised to a victory in the opening round yesterday. The 3-seeded Eagles swept number 6 Red Hawks, moving to 21-9 on the season. MSU began the match with Murray State about an hour ago, and that game is still in progress. Murray State took the first match 25-17, but the Eagles fought back in the second match, trading the lead with Murray State until they were able to clinch the second set 27-25. You can watch the final match live and watch live stats on msueagles.com. The Johnson Central Golden Eagles host Ashland Blazers Tomcats tonight in quarterfinal action of the 4A KHAA Commonwealth Gridiron Bowl. The 11-1 Golden Eagles are on an unmatched 10-game winning streak, having only lost one game at the start of the season. Golden Eagle coach Jim Matney says he thinks tonight's matchup will be one for the books.
No, it's just a big, nice game. It's a regional championship. We've been very fortunate. This is our fourth in a row. And, you know, I just think it'll be a great game for the fans. Great atmosphere, great game.
Johnson Central has been a dominating force this season, averaging over 45 points a game, while only allowing about 14 points in each matchup. The Tomcats have been preparing for tonight's matchup since October 19th. That's when they suffered their only loss this season to the Eagles, 47-24. Ashland has been able to hold their opponents to just one touchdown in the first two postseason games. They beat Holmes 48-6 and Harrison County 27-6 in the first two rounds of the Commonwealth Gridiron Bowl. Head coach Tony Love says his team is ready for tonight's matchup.
Our guys feel good. We've been playing well all year. The first game we played, we just didn't quite follow through with some execution situations, some discipline. And, you know, we're just going to have to kind of clean that up, and I think we'll be fine.
Love says his defensive team will be essential for a win tonight in Paintsville. Kickoff is set for 7:30 p.m. The Morehead State men's basketball team tips off in Washington in a little less than an hour. The Eagles face off with Missouri, Kansas at 5:35 p.m. in the sub-regional of the 2K Empire Classic. The game takes place at Eastern Washington. Game 2 tonight features the EWU Eagles facing Green Bay. The winners will play Saturday, with the losers taking part in the consolation contest. Regardless of Friday's outcome, if the Eagles play EWU, it will be 6:15 on Saturday, while a matchup with Green Bay would be at 4:05 p.m. Both games can be heard live on the Eagle Sports Radio Network. Meanwhile, the MSU women's team looks to keep up its hot start to the 2018-19 season as they return home to host the Vinewood Farm Classic. The tournament event will pit the Eagles against Valparaiso tonight at 6:35, Chicago State on Saturday at 5:05, and St. Francis Brooklyn on Sunday at 4:05. Each Vinewood Farm Classic game featuring Morehead State will be streamed live on ESPN+. Sunday's matchup against St. Francis Brooklyn will also be broadcast on WIVY. Morehead State football plays its last game of the year on Saturday when they welcome the Drake Bulldogs to Jane Stadium. It's senior day for MSU as the Eagles look to notch a win at the end of their season. With a disappointing 3-7 record and riding a 3-game losing streak, head coach Rob Tenier talks about some of the growing pains his team has went through this season.
It's been a year of too many mental errors and some undisciplined football at times, you know, and so you've got to improve in those areas, you know, and those are program objectives, and those are on me, and we've got to be better, and I know that, our players know that, and I think that's what's held us back a little bit this year.
The 6-3 Bulldogs come into the game in a three-way tie with Marist and Stetson for second place in the Pioneer Football League, trailing San Diego, who is undefeated in conference play. Senior Day kickoff is set for 1:05 p.m. on Saturday. The University of Kentucky football Wildcats are gearing up to take on Middle Tennessee at Kroger Field tomorrow. The 7-3 Cats, who started this year strong on a 6-game winning streak, are now on a 2-game losing streak after falling to the Georgia Bulldogs and then to Tennessee Volunteers last week. Head coach Mark Stoops said in a press conference that he takes full responsibility for the recent games, but he says he's done things differently this week.
And we got to do whatever we got to do to get ready to play this game against Middle to get our 8th victory. And again, it's very important. Doesn't diminish all the good things our team has done throughout this year, and appreciate their effort throughout the season. And again, as I mentioned Saturday, I didn't do a good enough job getting them motivated and getting them prepared to play last week, and that's what we have to do, and we'll get back at it here this week.
If the Cats win their last two games, Middle Tennessee and Louisville, they will finish with the best record the Cats have seen since 1977. And finally, today in sports, the Morehead State Baseball Eagles have signed a hometown ace. The Eagles signed Rowan County Senior High School senior A.J. Hacker to next year's squad. Hacker led the state in strikeouts as a junior with 125 in 69 1/3 innings. The 6'3", 200-pound infielder went 10-2 on the mound with a .71 ERA and shared the team lead at the plate with 4 home runs. Hacker said during his signing conference that what he's most excited about is the opportunity to get more kids on the field.
I can go on forever, people that helped me get here. But, you know, I just appreciate seeing so many people out here. It means the world to me. You know, it means a lot to be able to move on to the next level. You know, be a role model for kids around here. Give them a reason to keep playing baseball, you know, have a chance for them to go on to play college baseball for themselves.
That sounds courtesy of MyTown TV. Hackard has a long history with Morehead State, despite growing up in Morehead, as his father, Scott, played baseball for the Eagles, as is his uncle and his cousin. He also had an aunt who played softball for Morehead State. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY News. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Football will have a senior celebration for their final home game of the season hosting Drake tomorrow afternoon at 1:05 p.m. Tickets and more information for the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Despite gains in the major indices today, stocks wound up posting sharp weekly losses, this after a strong downturn in technology shares. And at the close, the Dow Industrials were up 123.95, finishing at 25,413.22. The S&P 500 was up 6.07 at 2736.27. The NASDAQ was down today, as it was most of the week, finishing with a loss of 11.16 at 7247.87. The S&P 500 actually wound up down 1.6% on the week, and the Dow and NASDAQ both declined more than 2%. In technology, the biggest sector in the S&P 500 by market cap was the second worst performer this week, falling 2.5%, and the sector dropped following a 5.4% decline in Apple stock as Wall Street analysts started voicing worry about iPhone sales possibly slowing down in the coming quarter. Tech-related shares like Amazon and Netflix contributed to the NASDAQ weakness as Amazon was down 7% and Netflix finished the week down almost 6%. Facebook was also under pressure this week, falling nearly 4%, this amid backlash from a New York Times article detailing how the company ignored and then tried to hide that Russia used the platform to disrupt the U.S. election in 2016. Shares of NVIDIA plunged almost 19% today on disappointing revenue and guidance. NVIDIA's fall dragged the VanEck sector semiconductor ETF down by 1.7%, and other chip stocks today were weak as well, with Advanced Micro Devices down 3.9% and Micron Technology down 1.2%. Shares of Nordstrom dropped 13.7%, and Williams-Sonoma was down just over 11% as their quarterly reports disappointed investors. And in the commodities markets, oil rebounded somewhat today, finishing with a gain of 0.625% at $56.81 a barrel. Gold was up 0.6% at $1,222.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down somewhat, with the Stoxx 600 index finishing down 0.2%. In the Far East, stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.6% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Travelers and United Health Group, while the worst performers were Walmart and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were PG&E and Edison International, while the worst performers were NVIDIA and Nordstrom. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Lowe's down 39 cents at $93.29, Dollar General down 36 cents at $111.42, Fifth Third Bank down 21 cents at $27.39, Humana up $1.56 at $319.57, Marathon Petroleum up 11 cents at $65.47, and AK Steel was up a penny, finishing at $3.76. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number one and two plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 51. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Sunday, a 20% chance of showers after 4 p.m. Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers mainly after midnight. Monday, a 30% chance of showers mainly before 9 a.m. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg it is 42, in Maysville it is 42, in Ashland it is 46, in Inez it is 49, in Lexington it is 47, and in Moorhead it is 46.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Logan Pemberton, Leanne Akers, Chaz Jenkins, Joe Lewis, Brian Courtney, Cody Robinson, and Haley Stidham. Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature commentary this afternoon came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Peyton Stewart and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.